So did you know that you are significant? Well done, whoever that was. Yeah. You're significant. It matters where you go and what you do, because Christ is in you. Where you go, God goes. Now we're working through the life of Joseph, and it's very interesting, actually, the point we've come to in Joseph's life. So you'll remember that Joseph has interpreted Pharaoh's dream through the working of the Spirit of God, and Joseph is quick to acknowledge that. We've had our 7 years of abundant crops, and the surplus was stored. We've had our, well, we're in the middle of the 7 years of famine. And so they're starting to use up the supplies. And you know that Joseph was put in charge of all this, of storing the grain and then handing it out. Chapter 41 of Genesis tells us, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. And so we go back to Jacob and his large family. We saw early on in the series a family tree. There were a lot of them and a lot of children. And Jacob hears that there's grain available in Egypt, and he sends his sons to buy some. But he only sends 10 of them. Oh, excuse me. Hi. Sorry, my little granddaughter waving through the glass. Jacob only sends 10 of his sons. He doesn't send the youngest, Benjamin, who was the last remaining son of his beloved Rachel. Doesn't risk it. Wise man, learnt from experience. So 10 of his sons go to Egypt. Chapter 42, verse 6 tells us, now Joseph was the governor of all the land, the one who sold the grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. And isn't that exactly what Joseph had said would happen in his dream? His initial dreams are fulfilled. His brothers do bow down to him. The brothers didn't recognize Joseph. He was now a mature man, dressed in Egyptian style, probably the eyeliner and the fancy robes, as was their custom. But Joseph has recognized them. He gets the information from them that his father and his younger brother, so the brother of, you know, his last full blood brother, if you like, are still alive. He gets that information out of them. And then he accuses them of being spies and has them all thrown into prison. Getting his own back. However, 3 days later, it's interesting, he says, the initial plan was that he would keep 9 in prison, send 1 back home to bring Benjamin back so he could see Benjamin. Throws them all in prison. 3 days later, he says, I fear God. And he relents. Maybe he's had time to think about that initial response of paying them back. And he says, I fear God. I'll just keep 1. We'll keep Simeon. And the rest of you can go back to Jacob. But come back with Benjamin. The brothers start to feel that their treatment is payback for the wrong that they did. They've obviously carried that guilt for many years. They take the grain, they head home, one man down. Later, they discover that the silver that they'd used to pay for the grain is back in their bags, back in their sacks, with the supplies. And then they really start to panic because they're in big trouble now with this powerful man. After some time, they're desperate again for more food. The famine is very severe in the whole world. So they decide eventually they need to return to Egypt to buy more grain. Jacob is resigned. They're either all going to starve, or he might lose Benjamin, or he might lose some of his other sons. But the alternative is for the whole family to starve. It's worth a try. The only way to get anything is to send Benjamin, and they also take double the amount of silver, just in case it was a mistake that it was left in the sacks the last time. They return to Egypt and have an audience again with this great ruler, with Joseph. I found it significant that twice during his encounters, Joseph becomes overcome with emotion. And the scripture tells us that he has to take himself off and weep. He has to go off and have a good cry and compose himself before he can go back to dealing with this situation. The brothers feel that they're facing consequences for their earlier actions. And Joseph is kind of testing them, sounding them out. Are they people of integrity now? Can they be trusted? How do they act towards each other? Are they willing to protect each other? Joseph's testing them out. The topic I was given for this morning was very handily called Facing the Past. And both Joseph's brothers and Joseph, it's a very charged atmosphere when they come back. And obviously eventually Joseph reveals himself to them and there is great rejoicing. And the brothers are still a bit wary, but Joseph is gracious towards them. Facing the past. None of us have come through this life without facing a trauma of some sort. None of us, not one of us. Something done to us, something done by us, something, just an experience of life that has caused us pain or hurt. Some crushing disappointment or failure. Probably all of those things at some point. Whatever popped into your mind when I first mentioned it, it's probably yours at the minute. Some scars run very deep. And some need professional or medical help. And you know what? Take the help that is out there. It's a blessing. We are blessed to have counsellors or medication or doctors that can help us. God never promises that we'll have an easy time. In fact, he warns us, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, he says in John. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. What he does promise us is that his Spirit is given to us as helper, comforter, teacher, giver of gifts, both natural and supernatural, working to produce in us kind, patient, loving, joyful lives. When we take that step of faith to follow Jesus and commit ourselves to him, his Spirit comes and dwells within us. And we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Probably. Probably. When I was quite young, quite a few years ago now, 16, actually, I remember it really clearly. I was 16. And I remember being in a prayer meeting and praying that I was brokenhearted. Now, I don't think it was over a guy. I actually can't remember now what I was brokenhearted over. I can't remember. But I remember praying that I was brokenhearted. And another young man in that meeting very bravely said, I feel God saying, why are you saying you're broken when I have made you whole? Now you can imagine that was very, I can remember it very clearly. I say I can't remember what the trauma was, but I can remember God intervening in that way. So somebody who didn't know what I had just prayed, God prompted him in his Spirit to share. Why are you saying you're broken when I have made you whole? And I have carried that with me through my considerably longer life. That's about, 45 years ago? My maths isn't that good, but yeah. No, I'm not that old. Hang on. But certainly over 40 years ago. Yeah, it's near 50 years ago. But I remember it. I remember it because it was significant. It was a significant thing that God spoke into my life. I have made you whole. So, his Spirit within us works to transform us. But you've got to want it. You've got to allow it. God rarely forces himself upon us. Occasionally, I suppose, things will happen and you just can't deny it. But mostly, he's seeking a relationship. He's seeking to draw us to himself. And we will fail. And we will fall. And he knows that. Week by week, we come here and we encourage each other. And we try and help each other grow. And we try and focus on our relationship with God. We had some amazing encouragements last week when the ladies stood up to share. And a measure of your strength is not that you never fail. It's not that you never fall. The measure of your strength is having fallen, how quickly you pick yourself up and start the journey again. And what better day than Pentecost Sunday to ask that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus come and heal and restore and challenge and empower and renew us. I'd just like to finish with the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But we know him, for he lives in us and will be with us. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of Joseph, for the history of Joseph. A story full of reality, of a life lived listening to the Spirit of God. And Lord, we thank you for your promises to us. And we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. The world does not know him, but we know him. And that makes all the difference. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.